We begin the current daf from Sechel Shabbos daf Tazayin. We begin on the bottom line of Tazlov and Mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which was there were two gezeris that Yosef ben Yehezer and Yosef ben Yochanan had made, and one of them was that they were going through tuma on klis ruchas that glass were susceptible to tuma, although min haTorah not, but min rabbanan they were going. And the Gemara discussed why that was. So they said that since it's very similar to klicheres, which is susceptible to tuma because they both come from the earth, so therefore we were going through tuma on klis ruchas. So now the Gemara discusses and asks a question based on that. Elamiata, but if that's the case, that since we compare Kli Zchuchas to Kli Charis and we consider it, we give it the same halachas, and that's why it's, so to speak, susceptible to Tumah just like Kli Charis. If that's the case, now we continue on to the top of Tezayinim and Aleph, Leila Tamim Megabon. So then glass which should not be susceptible and receive Tumah from its outer surface, just like Kli Charis, which can only get Tumah, which is unique by Kli Charis. It can only receive Tumah or give Tumah on the inside of the Kli Charis, but it can't receive the Tumah from the outside of it. If that's the case, that Kli Zchuchas is just like Kli Charis, Alamitz, now why do we learn the Mishnah the following thing? Kli Charis for Kli Nesa, regarding earthenware and Kli Nesa, which is a type of a white type of an earth, Tumas and Shava, that their Tumah are identical, and that is Mitamin and Mitamin Mabirein, they can acquire and convey Tumah from their ear space. That if, let's say, Tumah is, so to speak, hanging in the ear space of that Kli, whether it be Neser, whether it be Kli Charis or anywhere, it becomes Tumah from the ear space, and then it goes ahead and then it's so to speak, Mitameh, the different food items that's in its ear. And that is, although it didn't even touch it, as the Pasuk says, Kol Asher B'toichi Yitma, anything that's inside of it will become Tumah, even if it's, so to speak, let's say, filled with mustard seed that it doesn't touch the walls, only the ones that are right near the wall doesn't make a difference. Everything in the ear space of the Kli Charis, including the Kli Neser, will acquire and convey Tumah. And then it continues, and Mitamin Mechareyan, they acquire Tumah from the exterior, and that is if, let's say, there's in the outside of the Kli, there's some type of a Chakak, there's also an area that it's engraved a little bit, so there's, so to speak, an air space, even on the outside, like sometimes they make in certain type of wooden vessels. So therefore, it could also acquire Tumah even from the exterior, as long as, again, as there's some type of a cavity. However, the Eimetam Megabein, as we mentioned before, it does not acquire Tumah from its outer surface. As the Pasuk says, El Toicha, it has to go inside the Keli. So it has to have a crevice or a cavity or somewhere, whether inside or outside, but if it's just a flat outer surface, there will not be Mekabel Tumah. And the breaking of these two kalim of the klicheres and the klineser is what purifies it, because you can't, so to speak, tivel it in the mikvah. So therefore, the diak is klineser klicheres to the tumas and shava, that we learned over there in Mishnah, that these two kalim, one of neser, this white type of earth, and the earthenware, that their tumas are the same of a midach rinalai. However, anything else is not the same, which seems to exclude klis chuchas, the glassware is not the same, that it would not have the same type of halacha, and that it would be mekabel tumah even from the outside, unlike Kli Charis. But if we're saying that the halacha of Kli Zchuchas will learn that from Kli Charis, it should have the same halacha, and should say Kli Charis, Kli Neser, and Kli Zchuchas, they all share the same halacha. So the Gemara says, Amri, they said, Kivin chinishtabru, yeshlem takana, since when glassware is broken, there is a remedy for it, there's a way to fix it, that is, so to speak, remolded, and then to remake it into a keli. So therefore, there it's different than Kli Charis, which is earthenware, which once it breaks, it's a shard of pottery. You can't go ahead and remold it. You have to totally redo it. Shavinika Kli Matzcha. So therefore, since glassware is different, that it could be, so to speak, remolded, therefore we give it the halacha of metalware. And that is, and therefore, the outside of the Kli is tummy like Kli Matzcha. So then the Gemara says, if we're comparing Kli Zchuchas to Kli Matzchas to metalware, and that's why it has the Tumah. And that's where we go to Gzeder Abana on the glassware, because it's like metalware, which also is susceptible to Tumah. El Miata. But then the question is as follows. Yachzru l'tumas and yishon like Kli Matzchas. So then the glassware should revert to its old Tumah as we find in metal. And that is, if, so to speak, the glassware becomes tummy, then it gets perforated, there's a hole in the glass. So then it becomes tar, because it's, so to speak, not a keli anymore. Then you went ahead and, so to speak, remade it into a keli. The old tumah should revert and come back to require a tvila, because since we compare it to Kli Matzchis, and that's the halacha by Kli Matzchis, as the Gemara brings, it's not as learned in Mishnah. Kli Matzchis, regarding metalware, pshutayin, their flatware, umakablayin, and their hollowware, whether it's flat metal or whether it's something that has a hollow, Tumain, they're liable to tumah. It's not like Kli Charis, it's only when it's, so to speak, hollow that there's some cavity, but even when it's flat. Nishbru, if the metal keli is broken, taru, then it's tar, because now it's not a keli anymore, so therefore it's not tummy. However, chazrava asim and kelim, if someone remade that metal that was broken and then remade it into a keli, chazru l'tumas yishana, it reverts back to its old tumah. Although it was not a keli for some time and now you redid it, it's not, so to speak, from here on like a fresh start. Rather, it regains its old tumah, which the Gemara later will explain why that is. So therefore, by metal, we find that it goes back to its old tumah. But we're saying that glass has the same halacha as metal because it, so to speak, could be remade like metal. However, but regarding glass, where we learned the following Mishnah. We said that kli eitz, regarding wooden articles, v'kli ar and leather articles, v'kli etzim and bone articles, v'kli zchuchas and glassware, pshutei and tahirin, when they're flat, for regarding their flatware, they're tar. And that's because we compare eitz and ar, leather and wood, to a sack, which has a base kibbutz, which has a receptacle. Obviously, that's the whole fundamental principle of a sack. And we compare kli etzim, a bone keli, is compared to eitz and ar in the parasha Midyan in Bamid Balamad Aleph. And as it says, kol beged v'chol kli'er and v'chol ma'ase izim, and the Gemara Chulin Hakol Shechna says that it includes anything that comes from izim, from the karnayim, from the horns, and from the bones, and from the hooves. So therefore, we see that all of them share this commonality that it has to have, so to speak, a clay kibble, it has to have a receptacle, and therefore the pshutayan, all the flatware of all these different types of items will be tahar, because it's only mekabel tumah if it's like a sack. And the Gemara later is going to explain regarding a kli zchuchas glassware, why is it that their pshuteim, their flatware, are tar, if we're comparing it to matzis, to metal, which we just said before, that metal is mekabel tumah, even by flatware. However, for now, the Mishnah continues, umekablein tumein. And however, their hollowware are mekabel tumah, as we say, we learned it out from a sack, that it has to have a receptacle to mekabel tumah. Nishbru taru. If all these things are broken, then they become tar. Chazav, asim, and kelim. However, if let's say then it's remade after it broke, it's remade into a new keli. Now it could acquire tumah from here on. So the diik is, the inference is, that mikan alaba in. From here on, then it could receive new tumah, lemafrei aloi, but retroactively will not get back its old tumah. However, how can we say that if you're comparing glass to metal, and we said by metal that it reacquires its old tumah even when it's broken, but when it's remade, it gets it back. However, by kli zchuchas, we're saying it's only from here on. And how could we say that we're comparing kli zchuchas to kli metal, to so to speak, metal? If metal, we say that it reacquires, and zchuchas, it doesn't. So the Gemara says that no, we do learn zchuchas from metal, and that's why it's mekabel tumah midrabbanan, and that's why it's also going to have the halacha that it could acquire tumah from its exterior. However, there's this halacha regarding reacquiring its old tumah, it's different, because tumah is kli zchuchas midrabbanan. The whole principle of a kli zchuchas, of glassware acquiring tumah, is rabbinic. V'tumah yishana drabanan, and this whole idea, this concept about reacquiring its old tumah, is also a drabanan. And therefore, b'tumah d'iraisa, regarding a tumah d'iraisa, for example, by metal. So there, achisa b'rabanan tumah, there the rabbanan imposed this rabbinic tumah on it. However, b'tumah d'rabanan, but regarding a tumah d'rabanan of kli zchuchas, where its whole beginning of tumah, this whole principle of tumah is only rabban in the first place. Lo yichisul rabban tumah. They didn't make, so to speak, what's called the gzer l'gzer. They didn't add on the isad rabban of old tumah to the initial rabban of kli zchuchas. So therefore, although again we do learn zchuchas from metal, but we're not going to add on the rabban of tumah yishana, which we do by the derais of metal, to the rabban of glassware. However, the Gemara says the other question that we mentioned before, but it said pshutayin, that the flatware of zchuchas and all those other different items of bone and leather, that their flatware will be tar. The question is, pshutayin milatama, but the flatware of glass should be able to receive and acquire tumah, and that is because it should be just like kli matzis, which we say that by metal, which is deraisa, and we're comparing glass to it, that it acquires tumah midaraisa, not just midabana. So therefore, we can't give the same type of answer we gave regarding tumah yoshana, that it's different in that regard, because we're not going to add a drabon. Here, the derais, the gedin of metal, that it could acquire from the exterior. So therefore, why did we say that the flatware cannot be mekabel tumah from the exterior by the glass, if it should have the same halacha like metal? So therefore, it should acquire tumah. As the Gemara says, d'apshut de kli matzis derais ninu. The halacha regarding metalware acquiring tumah from the outside is a derais de gedin. And if we're comparing the glassware to the metal, it should acquire even by the flatware, and it shouldn't need to have, so to speak, the inside. So the Gemara answers, Abdi Buhu Rabban Hekher, that although we are learning glass from metal, the Rabban had to make a distinguishing feature that there's a difference between glass and metal. We didn't want to give it all the halachas. And that is, we did not want that anyone, if, so to speak, if glass is going to touch, that's tame, is going to touch truma or kachem. And there's a halacha that you have to burn truma that became tame. But since here it's not a truma d'iraisa, it's only rabbinic, and therefore the rabbanan are not going to go ahead. We don't burn any truma that touches truma d'rabbanan except from six different cases of doubt, which the Gemara brings on the Tezvav and Mabez. That is, those are six exceptions that we do. However, so therefore, by the Tumah of Klis Chuches, we differentiated. We wanted you to know that it's not the same as the Tumah Derais of a metal keli, that you should know that it's only Jabanan, and that is so that you should know that you shouldn't burn Tumah that touches it, although it becomes tummy, that you don't eat it, but you don't burn it. Whereas by Tumah Derais of, so to speak, metal, that you would burn it, and that's why we made this difference, that we said that the flatware of the glass will be different than the flatware of metal, and that it will not become tummy, versus the Tumah of metal would become tummy even from the outside. Now we continue on Tumah Beis. The Gemara gives a different Amor that argues on this and says that in truth, it's as we said originally, that the Tumah of glassware we learn now from the Tumah of earthenware, of Klicheres, and that is because they both originate from the sand. And that answers the two questions we asked on the Gemara on Amud Aleph. That's why the Pshutei and the flatware of glassware are tar, whereas by metal, the flatware are tummy. And that's also why we understand why Tumi Yeshana, the old Tumah, doesn't apply to glassware, although by metal it does, is because Klicheres also doesn't get back its old Tumah. So that answers both questions. However, but if you're going to ask the question which, so to speak, made us change from learning up glassware from earthenware, and that we should learn it from metalware because Loyle Tama Megabon, if that's the case, that we learned it out from Klicheres, then you have the original question we start off this staff with. That is, then it should not become tummy from its outer surface, because we know that klicheres cannot be makabel tummy from its outer surface, only from inside the receptacle, from el toichai. And if you're learning up glassware from klicheres, how could the outside be makabel tummy and be, so to speak, susceptible to tummy if klicheres, where it's learned out from, is not vulnerable to tummy from the outside, only from the inside? And that the Gemara says that's one place where glass is different, because it has a unique feature. That is hoil v'nira toichai kabari, since by glass the exterior is as visible as the interior. In other words, since you could see through the wall of the glass, we do not consider it the outside, the exterior. Rather, we consider it as the interior because it's of its transparency that we see it. So therefore, so to speak, we give it the halacha of the inside, and that's why glass is unique, that although we learn from klicheres, and in truth, it's only the toicha, the inside, the interior, that becomes tameh, but since the exterior is visible, is, so to speak, through the interior, we view it as one, and therefore we give it the halacha of toicha, and that's why it's makabel tumah even from the outside, although it's learned out from klicheres. So now the Gemara continues quoting from the Brayis and the Yudalad Mabez that spoke about all the different gzeiros that were misoken in different times in history. So it says that Shimon ben Shetach tikin ksuba leisha. The Shimon ben Shetach instituted a ksuba for a woman, which is certain halachas regarding the ksuba by a woman. Ubegazah tumah kli matzchas, and he also decreed tumah on metalware. To which the Gemara asks, Kli matches deraisa, and how could we say that he instituted the halacha of tumah for metal keli? If that's a halacha min haTorah, it says in the Torah. The Chassidus says in the pasuk, Aches hazav es hakesav v'gomer. But regarding gold and silver, that it has all these halachas of tumah. So therefore, it wasn't him that made it. It's deraisa. So the Gemara says it's not that he made the halacha of tumah for metal. Lo nitzucha el tumah yeshana. What he, so to speak, had to institute was halacha of old tumah, that applies to metal, that it will reacquire its old tumah, that although it broke, it will get it back afterwards. As the Gemara brings, the Amar of Yehuda Merav, Maisa b'Shaltzin Hamalka, there was a story with Shaltzin Hamalka, the queen that was in the days of Shimon ben Shetach. She'asa mishtalibna, she made a feast for her son, v'nitmu kol kelen, and suddenly all her kelim, all her vessels became tummy. That is, someone died in the house where all the kelim were, and that she, if she had to go through the normal procedure, she would have to wait 7 days because they would have to spray it on the third day and then on the seventh day. And therefore, what she did was v'shavras, and she broke it so that, so to speak, she could expedite the process that day they could be able to use it. Because once you break it, it's not a keli anymore. So therefore, all the tum is lost. And then you could redo it. As it says, v'nasnasn l'tzayr, she gave it to the smith, v'ristachan, and then he resolded it. He remade it. V'asman kelim chadash, made new kelim out of it. So the Gemara says, "V'amr chacham yachzul tumas n'yashana." Chacham said it goes back and reverts, reacquires its old tumah. So therefore, you won't gain anything by breaking it, and therefore, it won't help. So the Gemara asks, "My time, what's the reason?" It was a good way. It was a good innovative way to get to outdo the 7 day process, because you break it, it's not a keli, and then you redo it. It's a brand new keli. So the Gemara says, Mishum geder mei chatus nagabo. It was a safeguard for the chatus waters, that's why they instituted this. And that is because ultimately, the mei chatus, which is a special halacha regarding the purification process of things which become tumah to spray it on the third day with this mei chatus, and the seventh day will become batel, because no one's going to wait 7 days anymore, because we want everything right now, instant. What people are going to do, they're going to break it, and they're going to totally forget about this halacha of mei chatus. So therefore, we instituted that, no, you can't do that, you can't break it to get out of it, you have to go through the process of the mechatas. So then the Gemara says that this pshat that we gave is hanich leman da'am aloy l'chol ha'tumas amru. That's very good if you say, like the one who says, that this halacha was not said for old tumas. And that is that it, so to speak, should revert, and this metal ware should get back its old tumah, that it was el tumas ha'mes b'varam, or it was only said that if this metal ware got a tumah from a corpse, from a dead body, whether it was touched by the dead body or in the oil of the dead body. So then, in such a case, we say that that's a geder for the mechatas. And that is because we said that, so to speak, when something is touched by the dead person, it needs this process of third and seventh day to be sprayed with the mechatas. Therefore, we said it was only there, therefore that was because of that reason. According to the one that says that it was for old tumas, any tumma that a metal keli has, if you break it, it will reacquire it afterwards, even if, let's say, it was a sheretz. So what can you say? That won't be a good pshat. Why were they geizer that tumi yishana, the old tumas, should come back on all these different tumas if that's not applicable? The whole reason why we said was because of mechatas, and that only applies to the tumma of a dead person touching it. Why did we say regarding sheretz and the zav or anything else that's metama the keli that it gets it back? If there, even if you wait, you won't have to, so to speak, wait the third and seventh and to have the so to speak, mechadash tavon and nikah. That only applies when it becomes tummy from a dead person. So the Gemara says two different reasons why we made this gezerah of metal kalis reacquiring its tummy after it's broken. Am Abaya, gezerah shemalu yikvenu b'chdei taras. It was a safeguard because we decreed that maybe a person is not going to, so to speak, pierce it to the extent that will make the keli tar. And that is, to make it not a keli anymore, it has to be broken. To what extent? So somewhere else the Gemara says that it's as if you could take out a pomegranate from it. In other words, it's such a large hole that a pomegranate would fall out of it. That means it's not a keli anymore. The problem is, if someone wants to make it tar because he wants to do this efficient, expedited process, he's going to break it, but he might not make such a big hole because he doesn't want to totally destroy it. And he might not make the hole big enough, so if it was never tar in the first place, and now he's going to remake it, it's really going to be the same keli that's tummy as it was before. So if we said you can't do this process, you have to go through the normal channel of going third and seven and spraying with the mechatas. Rava says for a different reason. It was a gzerish shemayomru tvila bas yom oila. It was a decree that less people come to say that something that was immersed on that day will affect tara for it even before sundown. And that is because someone sees that he knew that this thing became tummy, and then he sees a few hours later people are using this keli anymore. He's not going to know that they broke it and they resolded it. And he's going to think that they tevel it in the mikveh. They immersed it as things normally become tamer. That's the way you do it. And then he sees it's not even sundown. People are using it. He thinks you don't have to wait for sundown. Because of that reason, we didn't let people do this efficient way, so to speak, of breaking it. Rather, we don't allow that. And if you do break it and redo it, your old tumah will come back anyways. So the Gemara asks my Benai, what's the difference between these two pshatim of Abaya and Rava? Is that we're concerned that maybe you're not going to pierce it all the way, or that we're concerned that an onlooker might think that it was immersed and that it becomes tar even before sundown? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Ikeb and I, the difference between them would be the Ratzvina Miratzev, where the item was completely flattened. Where there, you still have the decree of that maybe the person didn't make a hole, because although he flattened it, but you have to actually break it. So there, we would still have that safeguard that maybe people wouldn't do a good job. But there, you don't have the problem of Shema Yirma, that maybe people are going to say that it was immersed and it wasn't broken, and you see that tefillah works even before sundown. Because you see the thing was totally remade, and it was totally redone, because the thing was totally demolished, and it's totally new. So therefore, that would be the difference. According to Abaye, it would still be a problem. And according to Rav, it wouldn't be, because people wouldn't have they would know that it was redone. And that would be the case. There would be a difference if it would reacquire its old tumah or not. So now the Gemara continues. Our Mishnah, two dafim before, spoke about, which started this whole discussion about the 18 things, the Yud Ches Vav, that were, so to speak, that the students of Shammai overpowered the students of Hillel, that was decreed on that day when they were there in the attic. So we were going through 10 different things, and now we're going up to the 18 V'idach Mahi. What are the other things of the 18 things that were decreed on that day? So the Gemara brings it now, as we learned in the Mishnah. Hamanich Kalim Tachas Atzinner. If someone puts vessels under a pipe, we're talking about a pipe that was, so to speak, first established in the ground, and then it was carved out into a pipe so that it could draw water into the mikveh, because then it won't pasul in it anymore, because we consider the pipe as part of the ground. But the problem is, if a person puts a vessel to, so to speak, get water that's coming down, that water that goes into the vessel will be pasul, because it's called mayim she'uvim, drawn water. So if someone puts a vessel under that pipe, the pipe would be good to go into the mikveh, because we consider it part of the ground. But now that he put a vessel, that vessel, so to speak, can make the mikveh. Now if it goes into that vessel, out, and then into the mikveh, it will make it pasul because it's drawn water. It's not, so to speak, it didn't go straight from, let's say, the rain onto the ground. So the halacha is as follows. If l'kabel behen megisham, if he put it to receive rainwater that was coming out of the pipes, that's echad kelim gedolim, whether it's a large keli, vechad kelim gitan, or whether it's small keli, to tell you that you would think that maybe if it's small, it wouldn't be considered a keli, and therefore would not invalidate the water to consider it drawn water. It doesn't make a difference, whether it's big, whether it's small. Vafil kli avonim, even if it's stoneware, or kli adam, or even if it's mudware, or kli glolim, and even if it's dungware, and that is that although we know regarding dungware that it's not even called a keli regarding to be makabel tumah, but still it is a keli, it's considered a vessel regarding mayim shuvim, that it's considered drawn water, that it would invalidate the mikvah. Paisim is the mikvah, all these types of kalim. If it goes into that keli, it invalidates the mikvah, because we consider the water going in mayim shuvim, it's drawn water, and it's not the proper water that's necessary, such as rainwater, to make a mikvah. So then it continues that the Mishnah says, Echad hamaniach, this would apply whether one placed the vessel there under the pipe intentionally, v'echad hashechech, whether one left it there by mistake. That's the opinion of Bishamai. That either way, whether it was left or whether it was purposely put there, it's going to invalidate the mikveh, because now that water is going through a vessel which makes it mayim she'uvim, and mayim she'uvim invalidates the mikveh. Beis Hillel mitarim b'sheichech, but Beis Hillel, they say that the mikveh is tahar, it's a good mikveh, if the keli was forgotten there. And that is, if it's forgotten, that's not considered she'uvim, because since he didn't attend for that, we don't view it as, so to speak, something that was drawn. So that's the machlokes. Amr Meir, or Meir says, and this is related to the Yud Ches Devarim, Nimnu v'rova b'sham b'sil, that they counted, and the students of Shammai outnumbered the students of b'sil, and therefore the halacha was like b'shammai, and that's one of the 18 things that was decreed in that day, that the vessel that was even left there, shechech, would have the halacha of mayim shuvim, and would invalidate the mikvah. However, he says, v'meidim b'shammai, but b'shammai, even they agree, b'shechech b'chatzur shutar. However, if that vessel was left in the open courtyard, not under a pipe, that then the water that comes out of it would be tahar for the mikvah. And that is, if let's say it's, so to speak, the mikveh filled up from the water that dripped out of that vessel that was left in the open courtyard, and that fell into mikveh, it will be good, because necessarily we're talking about when it was left under a pipe. And that is, as the Gemara later is going to explain, if let's say it was left there when the, so to speak, the clouds were darkening and getting close together, and then they dispersed, and then the person forgot it there, as the Gemara later says, that's where the machlekes between Bisham and Bishil was, because the person already revealed that his das, his intention was that he wanted that the rain should go into the vessel. And it's just that when the, so to speak, the clouds dispersed, we say that his original machshava did not go away. However, if it was placed in the open courtyard, then even if, so to speak, the clouds were, so to speak, thickening and then they dispersed, there was never an original intention to say that it's still there, to say that it will invalidate a mikveh, because if he just left it out in the open, we don't see anywhere a definitely purposeful leaving that even originally that it should be considered mayim she'uvim. Sefer Meir says that Bishami, even they would agree, if it was left in the open courtyard, not under the pipe, that it will be good kosher for a mikveh. However, the Gemara says that Amr B'Yesi, not like Reb Meir, that the students of Bishamai outnumbered the students of Bishil, and this is one of the 18 things. Reb Yesi says, no, adayin machlokes b'mekayim, this machlokes still continues, that if a person left a keli, a vessel, under the pipe, when the clouds were thickening, there the students of Bishamai did not outnumber, and so to speak, overpower the students of Bishil. And that is the opinion of Bishil, they did not, so to speak, acquiesce, and the, so to speak, this is still a machlokes, and therefore the halacha would still be like Bishil. So the Gemara says, Amr of Misharsha, the Bei Rav Amri in the Academy of Rav, they said as follows to explain this machlekes between Bisham and Bisil regarding if the vessel was left under the pipe. It's talking about a specific case. And that is, Hakol Moitim, everyone agrees, both Bisham and Bisil, Kishanichim, when this vessel was left under the pipe, Bishas Kishur Avim Tameim, if it was left at a time when the clouds were gathering, that then it's going to be Tameim. And that is, if let's say the rain didn't come right away, the person left it there and then he went out to his work and he forgot it there. Everyone agrees that since originally he intended that, so to speak, he saw the clouds are gathering and he knew the pipe is going to bring down water and he put his vessel there, that his original machshava is not batal, although he forgot about it, But that's what he intended for. So although he's working and he totally forgot about his keli, that water will become mayim shuvim, and if that goes into a mikvah, it will invalidate it. And b'shas pizer of me, and regarding if it was at a time when the clouds scattered, divya kol tayr, everybody would agree, even based shamai, that there the water would be tar, it would be good for a mikvah, because there's no gilur das, because if there's no clouds and he puts it under a pipe, you don't see anywhere that he intended that it should get water, because there's no clouds. No one's even thinking about rain coming. Their whole machlokes was on a specific case of when the person put the vessel down at a time when the clouds were, so to speak, thickening, and they were closing and they were getting tight. It looked like it was going to rain. Then the clouds dispersed, and then later they came back and clouded up again. And the machlokes was as follows. Marsa, Rabbi Sil held, but after the person's original intention, it, so to speak, lapsed. It bypassed, because once the clouds are dispersed, the person says, oh, forget about it. I see there's no rain going to happen. And he thought the rain's not going to come anymore. So therefore, it was like, so to speak, a limitation of his intention. And therefore, although it came back a later time, his original intention wasn't there anymore, because once he saw the clouds dispersed, he gave up, so to speak. Umar Sav Meshame held, no, loy batla machshavta, his machshava wasn't batla, because at least since his original intention, when he put it there, whether it was thickening, he thought it's going to rain. So although it dispersed, once it comes back, it's like it's still there, and therefore it will be considered mayim shuvim, as if it was intentionally placed there, and therefore it will invalidate a mikvah. So that's the machlekes that we have between Meshame Sil as one of the other 18 things that Meshame outnumbered Besil. To which the Gemara asks, but however, Rabbi Yosi, the machlekes of Dain Mukayim Edes, according to Rabbi Yosi, it says that this is still a machlekes, and that is they did not outnumber. According to Rabbi Meir, this is one of the 18 things, because we see that the students of Beishamai outnumbered the students of Beisil. But according to Rabbi Yosi, it says there's still a machlekes, and they did not outnumber. So Batilu, who is still short one of the 18, and that is because since this was not one of the things that, so to speak, they outnumbered them, so the halacha is like Beisil, as anytime we have machlekes, Beisham, Beisil, and therefore it would be tar. So we can't say it's one of the 18 things that Beishamai outnumbered Beisil. So I'm Nachum Yitzchak, Af benois kutim nidus marisasan, that also the halacha that the Kuthian daughters, that they have the halacha of a nida, even from the cradle, that is from the day that they're born, with geyser on the Kuthian girls, that maybe they saw dam nida. Because even a girl that's one day old, she could technically become tummy for the halacha of nida, as the Brisa says, that I would think only a woman. How do I know a girl that's even one day old could so to speak, have the tumah of nida? So the Gemara says, the Brisa says, the Tamalim v'isha has an extra vav to tell you that also even a girl a day old, and that is the Kusim, they don't make this drasha. And therefore, when their girls see a nida, they don't separate them from things which are holy. So therefore, the Chacham will gazer on their girls, even when they're from the cradle, the halacha of nida. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that was also boy bayim gazer, it was decreed on that day. It's one of the 18 things that the students of Shammai outnumbered the students of Hillel, and they decreed that the benois kusim, the Kuthian girls, even from the cradle when they're one day old, will be mekabel tumah. And that is, according to Rabbi Yosi, is one of the 18 things in place of Rabbi Meir, who says that one of the 18 things was this machlokes Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding when we have a keli that's forgotten under the pipe. That's, according to him, is one of the 18. According to Biesi, it's not, because he says they still argue. So he says one of the 18 is this other item of benois kutim, that they're metame as the halacha of nida, even from the cradle, even when they're one day old.